Well, we've spoken fairly frequently about sheep and shepherds over the years. That's a common image. Spent a bit of time reviewing yet again how dense sheep can be. And as I was looking at the lectionary texts for this week, I found myself going in another direction. And I believe, as I do, that the Holy Spirit continues to give guidance where guidance is needed. And as I was listening to that, I began to look at how these texts fit together in a different way, or at least three of the four. You can make a case for Acts fitting in there as well. But it's mostly the Psalm, Psalm 23, certainly our most familiar Psalm, I think. One of the most familiar pieces of Scripture, I think, anywhere. And then into the Gospel of John, and then finally into the letter of St. John, the first letter of John. And they all revolve around shepherding and about sheep. And in Psalm 23, we get an idea of what it can be like. The great shepherd describes what it's like for the sheep. And we have this wonderful image of peace and security that has been a comfort for millions of people in all kinds of distress. It's frequently read at funerals because of the imagery that it has. It reminds us that people are now at peace. They're at rest in a way that you simply can't be here. And it's read in the middle of all kinds of crises when we might forget that God can care for us. And it's a reminder that, no, he does. And then when we jump into the Gospel of John, we have Jesus using the image of himself as not just any shepherd, but as the good shepherd. It's a shepherd that's willing to lay his life down for the sheep. And he draws this distinction between shepherds, people who are connected with sheep, and hired hands who are just there because they need a job. And yeah, they'll take care of the sheep until something difficult comes along, and then they'll run away, which I must say it would take a particular kind of person to sort of sign on to putting themselves between a bunch of sheep and a wolf. But then again, that's what makes a shepherd. People who are in the midst of their calling, I'm sure you've noticed this in various places and with various people. People who have figured out what it is that they are and what they should do to be who they are to the fullest, do things that the rest of us think are just kind of crazy. Just, why would you do that? And then they look at us like we're crazy and say, well, how could I not? Well, that's what shepherds are. They are people who care for sheep in a way that hired people don't, or dilettantes don't, and all the rest. I mean, we all have those things that we do where we consistently go what most people would call the extra mile, and we just think is part of what we do. It's because it's a calling of ours. And Jesus says, I am the shepherd of the sheep. And he talks about, in this passage as well, one of the things I like about this is that allusion to people outside of Judaism, where he talks about, I have sheep in a sheep pen that you don't even know about, which is how we get in, which I'm awfully glad we do. But I find it fascinating, and this is where it pulled it together for me in a new way that you may or may not think is the sort of the obvious, and may not even accept, and that's perfectly fine with me, as it usually is. But Jesus says that the hallmark of a good shepherd is someone who's going to lay down their life for the sheep. And it sounds to me like that's sort of the touchstone, if you will, that no matter what else you might do, if you don't do that, you can't be a shepherd. In the same way that we have these things for other people, like teachers, for example. You may have the title of a teacher, and you may even have the job of a teacher and get the salary of a teacher. But if nobody learns, you're not really a teacher. But when you talk about things and people do learn, then you are a teacher. It doesn't matter whether anybody else notices or not. And that's sort of where we get at the core of who we are. And so Jesus says, this is what makes a good shepherd. None of this is new, and none of it is, well, it wasn't new to me. I'm sure it's not new to you. But as I was reading these texts together and I was thinking them, I kept putting that phrase up against what John says in his letter. And he begins saying, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his love for us. And that just, it struck me, and I put it together in a new way. Because honestly, usually when I read this, The first thing I see is I enjoy the coincidence that 1 John 3:16 is Christ laying down his life for us, and John 3:16 is the same. And it's obviously just a coincidence, but I like those kinds of things, and I notice them. And so I perhaps that blocked my view of this, because the second sentence in that verse, or the second phrase, however it's translated, says, "And we ought to lay down our lives for our sisters and brothers." And it pulled something together for me, and that's where the sermon title comes from. Shepherds All. And I began to think that, wait a second, when I've looked at these passages in the past, I've always looked at them solely from the perspective as God as shepherd, Christ as shepherd, and us as sheep. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think there's some real value in us being reminded that in some ways, when it comes to living the lives we're called to do, we are no brighter than sheep. And that's good for us to be reminded of that, I think. But this year, in this lectionary year, I was reminded that we are also called to be shepherds. To care for each other with the same level of care that Jesus does. We're not called to be Jesus, because there was only one Jesus. That's all we needed, and that's all we have. But it reminded me again of John's very strong or very firm language. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our sisters and brothers, or be willing to. And then he goes on to say what this looks like. Because you notice he follows it up without saying, and you should go and be dead now, or you're not following Jesus. Because of course that's not it. But he says, if we have material possessions and we see people in need, we see our sisters and brothers in need, and we don't give to them, how do we say we're Christians? If we don't provide assistance and care for those who we identify as our sisters and brothers in Christ, then he's saying there's something wrong with us. We need to care for those who are around us in the same way that Jesus cared for us. We're all shepherds. Some of us have really big flocks. Jesus, of course, has the biggest flock of all. But I think it's an opportunity for us, or at least what I took this as, is an opportunity to be reminded again that what we do matters. That how we treat people matters. John says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." Jesus was willing and demonstrated that willingness to die for us by actually dying for us. And I think what John is calling us to here is an orientation towards the people we're in community with that is as strongly connected and is as interested in each other's well-being as Jesus was and is interested in ours. And I don't think it's too much of a leap, as I was going through this, to see that in our behavior, to see in our willingness to do whatever is necessary for the people that we're in community with, to demonstrate our love for them, that same quality of care that Jesus had that made him a shepherd. And that's where I sort of grabbed this whole idea of us being shepherds too. Not in some kind of hierarchical sense. I mean, the analogy breaks down, as all analogies do at some point. We're not talking about being in some kind of consistent guiding leadership role over each other as a shepherd is, but rather in having that same level of care for each other that would have a shepherd stepping between a wolf and a sheep. We don't have to deal with a lot of wolves these days, especially not in this part of the world. And most of us can go weeks and weeks without even seeing a coyote. But the wolves here are a little bit, perhaps more metaphorical, if you will. And I think what this passage and this idea might mean to us is, are we willing to help our sisters and brothers in ways that present a challenge? And it's not so much the challenge of our physical being. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about keeping an eye out for someone you go to church with so you can pull them out from in front of a car, although obviously you're going to do that anyway. I think it's also being willing to protect us from, in some ways, almost from ourselves, protect us from some of the crazy ideas we have often about ourselves. It's risky when somebody says something to confront them about it sometimes. And I'm not talking about sort of the trivialities of what they believe about how the world should run or something like that. I'm talking about when people we care about describe themselves in unhelpful ways. When people say things, and they deeply mean it. I'm not talking about sort of casual witticisms. When people say, oh, I'm such an idiot. When people say that from a sense that's how they view themselves, a good shepherd will say, no, you're not. That's not who you are. When people say, I'm so stupid because they did something, it's a little risky to take the time to say, no, you're not. You're not stupid. You might have done something stupid, like we all do. Locking your keys in your car is not a brainy thing to do, but we've all done similar kinds of things. That isn't the sum of who we are. But if we tell ourselves it is, and language has a tremendous power over us, I call it reification. It's how you ascribe someone the quality of what they've just done. And often it's unfair, and it's especially unfair when we do it to ourselves. When I speak sharply to one of my children, and speaking to them in that way is not appropriate to what they did, but because I'm tired or I'm having a bad day, if I tell myself that makes me a bad parent, that trick of language affects how we think about ourselves. And instead of saying, I did something that isn't what a good parent would do, instead of telling myself that's atypical of me and I shouldn't have done it, and then go on talking to my child and apologizing, because if you can't apologize to your children, who can you apologize to? If I don't do that, then I will begin to believe what I tell myself. Are we shepherds enough that we're willing to step in between a sister or a brother's language and themselves? That can be just as destructive to them as a wolf to a sheep? Well, I think we can. But I think sometimes we forget that's part of our responsibilities. To care for each other. And we do here. Knox is a community of faith that's characterized by care. I don't think you have to be here very long before you just see it. And so this might not be something that is a struggle for any of you, although it can be for me. Sometimes we think, well, how can I say that? I'm not perfect. You notice that Jesus never suggests that shepherds are perfect. And John certainly doesn't in his letters. He makes it pretty clear that he understands that human beings are anything but perfect. We don't have to wait till we're perfect to demonstrate that we love people. And while it's grandiose to suggest that we will lay down our lives for each other, true or not, it's just one of those things that doesn't come up very often, thank goodness. But are we willing to take risks? Are we willing to be alert to what those we're in community with need the most and be willing to do it, even if it might be a little embarrassing for them or for us? I think that's what being a shepherd is. I think it begins with the grandiose and the theoretical, the willingness to lay down our lives for each other. But I don't think it ends there. I think that as shepherds, as people who care deeply about each other, these texts are a reminder that sometimes we need to just intercede with each other. We need to remind each other that we're pretty good people. And that we make mistakes because we're human and we live in a fallen world, but that doesn't mean that we are mistakes. That we do foolish things, but it doesn't mean that we are fools any more than doing a stupid thing makes us stupid. It's just part of what we do. And sometimes we need to be protected from ourselves. Sometimes the biggest wolf in my life is me. And sometimes I need someone to remind me that that's the case and say, no, that's not really who you are. Yes, what you did was foolish. But you yourself do not embody the quality of foolishness. You just did a foolish thing, and you're okay. Shepherding each other isn't just a matter of making sure we have enough to eat and a warm place to live, although that's certainly important. But being shepherds for each other also means doing what we can that we can be the best that we can be. And sometimes that means protecting ourselves from ourselves. And that's pretty hard. This sermon doesn't come from any particular thing I've seen, or don't take it that way. And I say this because this is my own upbringing, where I was around church services where everything was focused on a particular issue that nobody would ever talk about. You're somehow supposed to know. That's not what I'm saying. I don't have any sense whatsoever that you people don't do this regularly. This is, I hope, a word of encouragement to continue doing what we do already, which is listening carefully to each other, caring for each other, and being willing to take the occasional risk of being perhaps a little sheepish, no pun intended, when we bring this up, because we do love each other. And being willing to lay your life down for your friends sometimes means being willing to say something that, well, you might all be a little embarrassed about, but that leads us all to growth. I don't like it when people tell me that I've done things wrong. I'll be open about that. I don't know very many people who enjoy that. But I'm always grateful. Sometimes it takes a day or two for me to realize the gratitude. But I'm always grateful. And I think that's how most of us are. And these texts can be a reminder for us to do the small things, care for each other, and that in at least some aspect we are all shepherds for each other, just like Jesus is shepherds for all of us all the time. Amen.